This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
We have to be different than the world. And so it has to be alive. The Word of God has to be alive in us so that then when we share it and communicate it, it has a dynamic to it that then on the receiving end, the person is given the opportunity to see its relevance because this is different. This is coming at me different than everything else, the way that everything else comes at me. And it ought to. This is different. And this is the most significant message that could be shared.
One of the biggest criticisms about Christians by non-believers is that we are all a bunch of hypocrites. We say we believe one thing, but act like everyone else. While unfortunately that's sometimes the case, our desire should be to stand out from the cultural norm. Hypocrisy is our default, but transformation is our goal. Today, Pastor Bo teaches that when you begin to let the Holy Spirit transform you, people will notice. They will realize you have a type of joy that stands out, and they will want a piece of that. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, "The Way of the Lord Disturbs People, Push to Notify."
You have people under your roof that need your prayer, need your ministry. And those are individuals that, to give you that picture of what it looks like to have a zeal for gospel work today, lead them to the Lord. Seek to introduce them to a personal relationship with Christ. Talk to them about these things. That takes zeal in your house. In your house, to be able to share the truth of God's word with members of your own household, leading them to Jesus Christ. John 1, 41 through 42 says, "He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which means Christ. "And then he brought him to Jesus and looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas.'" So just understanding here, when one brother found the Lord, he wanted his other brother to be introduced to the Lord. Same idea. Here's another one. Recommend Christ to your friends. Is this very practical for us? Just recommend. Look for ways, just how you would recommend a movie. You'd recommend a good place to eat. You'd recommend things like, recommend to your friends, your personal friends, Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 45 says that Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So in other words, just recommend Christ to your friends. Hey, we have found a different way here of living, and I think you should look into it. I think you should consider this person, Jesus Christ. You know, there's been a lot said about him. There's been a lot written about him in ancient texts. Have you ever considered him? Have you ever looked into him? I recommend you get to know more about Jesus Christ. Guys, that's a great line. I recommend that you get to know more about Jesus Christ. That's a great thing to say, to share with people, that'll cultivate that zeal that God wants his people to have in gospel work, in the church, doing the ministry that we're all called to. Here's another one. Inspire others to the work. Like, we need to do that to each other sometimes. Just inspire each other to do the work of the ministry. I think we need this a lot, honestly. Just encouraging each other, complimenting each other, building each other up with this. Acts 11, 25 and 26 says, classic example, "Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he," Barnabas, "brought Saul to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and they taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians." And how that all happened is because Barnabas inspired, kind of got the zeal of the great Paul the Apostle at a point in his life where he needed to be encouraged. And Barnabas brought that. Did you see the power right there of just inspiring other people to do the work of the Lord? You don't know where that's going to end up, man. It's always worth it to inspire someone else in their service to Jesus Christ, because the outcomes, man, they are kingdom-oriented. Like where they're, what they're going to do, who they're going to become, what they're going to, I mean, you want to see that happen. We all want to see that happen. So we ought to inspire one another toward that. See, this is all cultivating that zeal. And that's what I want to try to do for our church as its pastor, is cultivate, stir up that zealousness for the Lord's work. Here's another one. Save souls from death. I'm not concerned about the power of the message. I'm concerned about how much the culture has influenced God's people that is sort of numbing the potency of the gospel in the world today. I hope I can, I hope I said that right. Because I see something happening. Our culture, our media, all of these things that pull on us sort of desensitizes us. Now, that's very dangerous for people's eternal condition of their souls. It's doing two things. It's sort of making them think that there's really not any power in the Word of God or in the gospel, because we also are so affected by the world that it hasn't fully worked in us all of its dimensions. All the ways in which the truth of God, His gospel, and His word can influence a person is mighty. It's glorious. It's powerful. The word of God at work in a Christian. And so what I'm trying to say then, we have to be able to sort of push back on the culture ourselves first and be allowing the word of God to transform and change us so mightily, so powerfully, that when we go to articulate it and talk about it, it has traction. Our words have weight to them, so that when a person who's been desensitized by the culture senses something else coming, disturbing them, it's the energy, it's the power of the cross, the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God working in and through the church members as they're out and they're advancing the cause of Christ, it stirs people up. See, that's, we have to be different than the world. And so it has to be alive. The word of God has to be alive in us so that then when we share it and communicate it, it has a dynamic to it that then on the receiving end, the person is given the opportunity to see its relevance, because this is different. This is coming at me different than everything else, the way that everything else comes at me. And it ought to. This is different. And this is the most significant message that could be shared. So back to what I'm trying to say about saving souls from death. James 5:20 says, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I absolutely am trying to say to us that we need to be concerned about souls and people's souls going to heaven or hell. That those are realities. Those are real locations. And when Christians, when we understand that, that should give us a greater burden and a greater zeal for souls. I remember it was kind of a joking thing, but it was meant to foster this kind of zeal that I'm talking to you about. I had a dear friend, Jonathan Schroer, who's a friend of mine. We were in ministry together for many years. He's not in our area anymore. But we were in ministry together when we first started out, both kind of fresh out of college, a lot of energy, very zealous. He walked in my office one day and threw it. We don't use phone books anymore. Does anybody have a phone book anymore? No, nobody has a phone. He threw a big old phone book right on my desk. He just threw it up in the air and went, pow. And he said, you don't care about souls if you don't call all those people and start evangelizing them right now on the phone. And I said, get out of here, man. But we did do that. We would just open up a phone book, and we just pick a column of the page, and we just start calling folks. And we just talk to people. Whoever answered the phone, we just talked to them about the Lord. He'd say, are you serious? Yeah, yeah. Just out of that, we did it at Starbucks. We just sit at Starbucks, have a Bible study together, and whoever was around, we'd get in conversation with. We'd discern kind of where they're at spiritually and just start talking to them about Christ. You're just sharing the gospel, but with a zeal, just a passion that is motivated from the reality of heaven and hell, that souls are in the balance, and we are the ones on planet Earth who are in that middle spot of being able to do something about it. And so we ought to enter into it, saving souls from death. We ought to be people who lead people to Jesus Christ. And I know we need training. A lot of us never have maybe done that before. But maybe could I just pitch it to you like this and let you think about it? When was the last time you led someone to Jesus Christ? When was the last time? Well, it was 1983. That was a very long time ago. I know to some of us it might not seem like that. But no, Bo, what are you getting at? I'm just stirring us up a little bit. I'm wanting you to realize that we are to be saving souls all the time, concerned about it. Be soul winners, sharing Christ everywhere we go. I need to up my evangelism as well. John 4:35 says, do you not say, just as Jesus speaking, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. You know, last week we baptized, I believe it was 12 people. That's amazing. And that's sort of an in-house example of helping you see, if you're doubtful of that, no, you just need to even look around here and realize the fields are white to harvest. Like, people are coming to the Lord, and that should be what we're passionate about and seeing happen. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says it another way. To the weak, Paul the Apostle says, to the weak, I became weak. So to people who are just in a different place than me, I will go to them. I will go to their situation. I'll get in their context. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. See, his strategy was all the time evangelism and kind of never forsaking the message, but always the method. He'll bend the method all the time, but never bend the message. And so he's willing to enter into all kinds of different situations. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Do you see that? That is to be on our hearts. That verse of scripture is to be on our hearts. To the weak, I became weak. To all people, I become all things to all people so that I might just be effective in whatever environment that the Lord puts me in, I can win people to Jesus Christ. That was his strategy, evangelism. All right, now here's the first reaction of the world to the way of Jesus, and it is this, that the way, that is Christianity, disturbed greedy people. It disturbed the materialist, is what I'll call them, the materialists. All right, so these were people in Ephesus who were motivated by greed. And watch this in verse 24 of Acts 19. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, he brought no little business to the craftsmen. That means he brought a lot of business. And verse 25 says, these he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades. And he said, guys, listen up. You know that from this business of making all these idols for people, we have our wealth. We've made a lot of money off of this idol, off of this false god. And verse 26 says, and you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, in our city, but in almost all of Asia, this part of the world, this Paul, I love that he calls him that, so disturbed Demetrius, so bothered Demetrius, that's how the biblical text records Demetrius's complaint about Paul. He actually even calls him this Paul. You ever been called that? This Carl, you know, this Bo, you know, this, I mean, right? That's great. I want to be that to somebody. You know what I mean? Come on, you guys with me today? I'm serious. Here's Demetrius standing up, really communicating out his complaint, and you can hear his heart, can't you? Kind of down inside, where he says, this Paul. He has persuaded and turned away a great many people. Doing what? He was saying that gods made with hands are not gods. The Greek goddess Artemis, the Greek goddess of wild animals and the moon, and protectress of the household, the Roman goddess Diana. So she's known as both, Diana being her Roman name and Artemis being her Greek name. At Ephesus, she was worshipped primarily as an ancient Near Eastern fertility deity, in whose honor the Greek colonists there had built a temple for her. And so this temple, considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, was destroyed in 356 BC, but had been rebuilt. Worshippers carried small silver, marble, or terracotta images with them all the time, or at home to be placed in actual little altars, like at home, little shrines. So the way of the Lord had disturbed this economy that revolved around this deity. The way of the Lord disturbed those who were really greedy and materialists, and those who were actually working a very evil profession as their occupation. And there's two primary reasons. The message of the Lord attacked the greed of these evil occupations, these professions. Demetrius and these silversmiths that you're reading about here in this passage, they were engaged in an evil profession, that of making and selling items, but specifically idols, that were harmful and damaging to the human soul, to mankind. Now, I can say that because from the gospel standpoint, that's damaging, that's harmful. So their craft was profitable. Let's just say it. It was very profitable, their craft. As a matter of fact, I learned in studying that they had the temple of Artemis was actually the bank of Ephesus. Talk about lining that up, right? So if you took loans out and all that, it was from the temple of Artemis. You can see how enmeshed and ingrained this worship of this false deity was in the city of Ephesus and in this part of the world. Big temple built, seven wonders of the ancient world. And Paul, just 3 years, catch the power of the word of God. 3 years just going tink, 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 teaching people, small group of people, and they go out and evangelize. Within 3 years, you have the entire false worship and economic system of one of the major cities of the then known world being torn down. That's remarkable to see that. But yes, it was very profitable. It was their livelihood. It was the basis of their wealth. It was their social standing. Demetrius was apparently a very influential citizen in the city, standing up. He was probably even the head of this group of silversmiths. Two reasons I wanted you to see how the way the Lord disturbed these greedy guys. The second one is that he changed men's lives. So the message of the Lord attacked the greed of their profession. And not only that, it also, the message of the Lord had changed people's lives. He demanded that they face the truth and deny all false gods and commit their lives to God alone. That would have been the message that Paul would have been bringing to them over time. So many citizens and apparently tourists, because it was irritating Demetrius that he couldn't capitalize off of what they were known for as well, were being converted to Christ. And they were no longer buying these idols. And it was cutting into their profits of Demetrius and these other tradesmen. So just know, when a man or a woman is truly converted to Jesus Christ, he does two things. Here's the first one. And Demetrius saw it by way of Paul's ministry on other people. That person, when they convert to Jesus Christ, here's what the first thing they do. They face the truth. They face the truth. There are no gods which are made with hands. And again, an idol or a false god is anything that we're devoted to, our devotion goes towards. And this was something that the people in this day were devoted to. Or created by the imaginations of man. So if man imagines it or makes it, it is an idol. Empty thought, or else just material substance. It's not God. It's not the sovereign majesty of the universe. So when a person truly is converted, this is one of the first things that a person does, is they face the truth. That God is the one who has life within himself. That God, ultimately, Yahweh, Jehovah God, he is the one who is the creator over everything. He is the one who sustains and he rules over everything. And he and his son, Jesus Christ, is the savior of all mankind. 1 Corinthians 8:4 says, therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, Paul says, we know that an idol has no real existence. And that there is no God but one, he says. Ephesians 6:4 as well says there is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Bo, don't bring this, all these verses to me about how there's only one God. No, our brains need to be washed with the truth of the Word of God. We live in a very pluralistic society, and I'm tempted to think that many Christians are starting to get worn down by the culture in thinking, well, there are these other, no, there are no other gods. There's only one God, and the rest are demons. Seriously? Yeah, I have to give an account to God and just tell you straight what the scripture says. 1 Timothy 2:3-6 says, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved. No, that's God's desire for you this morning if you're here. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ, that is Messiah, the anointed one, who is Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom. Think ransom, think money, think buyback. Christ gave himself as an offering, as a buyback for all people, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Church, be encouraged. That is still the testimony that needs to be given in this hour, in this time. Push through all of the cultural norms, the things that have gotten now so in the way of the penetrating power of the gospel. We've got to push through that and remain faithful to what Scripture communicates. Deuteronomy 4:35 says, "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, that is Yahweh, is God. There is no other besides him." 2 Samuel 7:22, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard in our ears." Psalm 83, verse 18. "That they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth." Psalm 86, verse 10. "For you are great, and you do wondrous things." Don't miss the communication of the Word of God, how it says it all the time. "You alone are God." Isaiah 43, 10 through 11. "You are my witnesses," the prophet Isaiah says, declares the Lord through him, "and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me," oh, Bo, come on, there's all these gods and people have all these different, "before me," God says, the God of the Bible, "before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be after me." Verse 11 of Isaiah 43, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no, keyword, Savior. You see that? Here's the second thing that a truly converted person will do. He will deny all gods except God himself. He will deny all gods except the one true God. He'll say nope to all the others, and he'll say yes to the one. He repents, he's converted, and according to 1 Thessalonians 1:9, he turns to God from idols, it says in that verse, to serve the living and true God. That's very different than the dead gods filled with myths and all of that. So I also want to say to us this today, there's too many Demetriuses in the world. Too many Demetriuses in the world today. But what do you mean by that? Just too many greedy people who engage in evil practices, evil professions, professions that harm people, professions that degrade people. And the great need, I think, of the world today is for God's people. So for us, that's Trinity Church. The great need today is for God's people, people like us, to step forth as the Pauls of the world. To step up, to step out, and proclaim that people must turn to God from idols.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida, but we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook, or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind, and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.
To the Lord in prayer.